Welcome back. You're listening to No One's Legal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of Off the Hour at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We were just listening to an audio testimony taken by members of Project X, actually taken by Robin, who's in studio here with Neil, two members of Project X. Mm-hmm. Robin, you want to break that down a bit, provide a little bit of the context to that clip?
Sure. The place that clip was taken was this October, and it was at like a preliminary meeting to talk about the idea of having negotiations between police and youth, because at this point we've gotten to the point that there's at least an acknowledgement of the fact that there's issues going on, I guess. But I think that there are a lot of people who are sort of frustrated at that meeting because there wasn't really an acknowledgement of, like, it's not really just a two-way street of, like, youth need to be nicer to police and police need to be nicer to youth, because it's just youth getting harassed over and over again. So after the conference took place, we set up a room and told youth that they were free to come give testimonials about racial profiling if they'd like.
One thing that I've noticed on your website and that you guys stress is that, you know, you're dealing, and this is something that came up in the testimony, with racial profiling vis-a-vis the police, the cops. But there's so many different ways in which this works institutionally beyond the police. So I'm wondering if you want to break that down a bit, talk a bit about those other forms of racial profiling that maybe, you know, we don't pay so much attention to, but that actually exists and has existed for hundreds of years, decades and decades.
I guess there's just a lot of different ways that that racial profiling gets played out. Like, it's not just in terms of, like, always getting, say, like, pulled over when you're on the street, but it can just be like increased aggression when you're dealing with the police. Like, I find that whenever I'm talking to youth of color who've dealt with the police, a lot of them have had guns pulled on them and they've been handcuffed without being arrested, without being read their rights, and just kind of an increased level of brutality that is applied to, like, especially to black teenagers, because they just have less social power and, like, less access to the media in a way that would not happen, like, to a white kid in the McGill ghetto or something.
True.
Yeah. And I think there's also just a lot more, like, harassment in terms of, like, jaywalking. You can get a ticket for, like, $100 to $140, and that kind of thing generally only happens to people of color. It's a lot in NDG. And loitering, there's tickets for $138 that people get, even just in terms of, like, standing and waiting for the metro, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of general harassment that I find that comes out that isn't necessarily even about, like, police work,
yeah,
per se.
I think on a personal level, like, coming to this country from the Caribbean, there's something that was evident that you were obviously different, and then you were treated as such. And my whole take on this whole, like, if you're talking about the police per se, I mean, because it does exist across the spectrum in the society, is that they basically keeping you in your place, the place that they want to see you in. It's the old kind of like crabs in the barrel kind of, you know, mentality being perpetrated, where you know, you only have strength for your own. I mean, I always used to hear the old people say, you know, you only have strength for your own, meaning that it's like the whole syndrome of a man being abused at work and going home and abusing his family. You know what I'm saying? They push the youths into criminality by just labeling them as such, and then keep stopping them for, like, you know, you rob somebody. Because that has happened to me many times, you know. Guns, police pulled a gun on me the same way, you know. And up to today, I don't really know why that was done. And that was on the city bus. They came and they pulled the city bus over. So when I hear stories, I just listen, because, you know, like, I know if it's not happening to me, it's happening to another brother or sister. So the way I see it with the institutionalized racism is that everybody's compartmentalized. You're put in a box. So obviously, being black, it's, you know, it's easy to detect whether you speak French or Spanish, right? So just on that premise alone, and I know it wasn't always like that, because, you know, where we come from, or even in this country, originally, they didn't have anything that called police or jail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were fine. You know, of course, we had our conflicts and our issues and stuff like that, because the whole idea is about really dignity. And that's what people got to realize, because we came and met it. So that doesn't mean it has to be that way. You know, it's the same thing with diet, like, you know, getting black people to eat chitlins and the same thing in the Caribbean, eating parts of the pig, you know, because that's what they designated you could have. That doesn't mean that we still have to eat that garbage now, because we know it's no longer good for us. That the same way, we don't only want to be janitors or booty shaking, you know, rappers or whatever, you know what I mean? It comes back to really dignity and really looking at ourselves and being critical of the whole makeup that they call a civilized society.
Yeah. And one way you guys are giving voice to that dignity is through letting people speak for themselves.
Definitely.
These testimonies.
Yeah.
And another way I know that this gets expressed is through poetry and through music. And we have a clip lined up here, something called Street Story.
Yeah.
So you want to tell us what we're about to listen to. There's a little poem at the beginning. And
yes,
then,
by Sianta, a.k.a. Lady Royalty, and Shane Smith, Young Mac, and Shane Weeks, Tri Boy.
So how did the Street Story, as they call it, come together?
Well, you know, we were doing a writing project with the Quebec Writers Federation at the center that I work at. And they had a rapper, local rapper, it was Manchild, as a matter of fact, coming to do his workshop with these youths. And, you know, just prior to the workshop happening, we all sat down and we try and discuss, like, what is important to you or what you're worried about or what are some of the things on your mind. And one of the things was gang, the whole issue of gang. So we took it upon ourselves to watch films on gangs and have discussion. So a track was built from this, them giving their perspective on gangs, whether it's Crips, Bloods, or, you know, and somehow the Black Panther came in there, you know, as an alternative to a self-destructive organization of brothers to a more progressive, like the Black Panther Party was. So with that writing project, along with Manchild and the youths of J2K, and along with Lab Noise, we did this thing, Street Story. And it was a beautiful result.
Yeah, we'll go to that clip right now. So this is Street Story. It starts with a poem by Sianta, also known as Lady Realty. We'll go to that right now.